Amen, amen. Well, welcome. How's everyone doing this morning? Online, I can't hear you. Oh, wait, no, there's no mics in your guys' houses. That would be weird, but I can hear you guys. Glad to see you guys. Are you guys enjoying the beautiful, warm weather out there? Who can tell that fall is coming? No one's cheering. You know, this is a divisive thing right now. I'll say that right here, especially in Okanagan, it seems like, but summer is almost over. But don't worry, fall is coming. And I unapologetically have fall as my favorite season. You guys can judge me all you want. You can stone me later if you want, whatever, throw stones, but that's fine. I unashamedly hold fall as awesome. I love all things fall. The color of the changing leaves, the first chilly mornings when you have to actually get a sweater on, the beginning of the school year, and all the parents said, amen. The longest summer break ever. Ouch. But pumpkin spice season, woo! My anniversary, I know you guys all celebrate that too, 10 years, no big deal. We were supposed to be in Hawaii. We had a baby and COVID instead, so yay. Well, the baby's yay, the COVID not so much. But anyways, fall is a fresh start, right? It's a fresh new year. It's still warm enough here at least, or if you live elsewhere in Canada, to enjoy the outdoors. You can actually even still go swimming in the lake. And this is a new season, not just in our calendar year, but in our church as well. And as we're going through this series, a new season, Pastor Dave so far has covered a new season of gathering, what gathering looks like together in this new season, as well as last week, a new season of growth. And if you guys missed those, go onto our YouTube or our website, bethtab.ca, listen to those. He did a great job of covering those. And even as we're continuing, today we're looking at gratitude, a new season of gratitude. One of the things that we want to be marked at as a church is that we are people who are thankful. And what gratitude does is it allows us to enjoy what we are going through rather than just being sad or grieving what we have missed. So just as those who love summer, maybe you're too sad to enjoy fall, but if you enjoy the beauty around you, the things that are going on, rather than focusing on what we've lost, we can focus on what we have. And you know, sometimes when we're going through hard things or difficult circumstances, we comfort ourselves by saying, you know, when this hard situation is over, my life will be better. You know, when my kid actually sleeps through the night, I'll enjoy my life better. I'll actually be awake, I won't walk into walls, things like that. When we experience hard things in life, we think that maybe hardship is what's stopping us from enjoying life. But if we're actually honest with ourselves, our lives aren't usually always good or always bad. Our lives often actually have good things and hard things happening simultaneously. If you're a person who likes imagery, a great picture I like to think is our lives are like a railroad track. There's good things happening on one side of the track, and there's hard things happening on the other side of the track. And sometimes the good things in our lives feel like they're screaming louder, and so we're focused just on the hard things in our life, and we miss some of the good things. But I have a hard thing to say. There are good things, there are hard things happening. And yes, we can say this COVID season is extremely difficult. I don't want to minimize that whatsoever. And I'm not being cynical, masses, or realist. But after this season is over, something else harder is going to come. Because that's just how life works, isn't it? We go through one hard thing, and it seems like before we've even forgotten it, the next thing comes along. So if we're always sitting and walking through life, just waiting for the hardship to pass before we enjoy life, we're not going to enjoy our lives. We're just going to be miserable. And I don't want to minimize it. I know COVID, all of the restrictions, everything that we have to do, and even for those who are gathered here today, this morning in person, I know this doesn't look like how church looked like before COVID. But if we're so focused on that it's different from what we want it to be, then we wouldn't enjoy what is. We're called to enjoy what it is because life is never all good or all bad. And Paul, he knew what it was to experience this. He knew what it was to experience hard things and good things happening at the same time. And in his closing words in his first letter to a church in Thessalonica, which is one of the quite a few churches that he actually started, his final words were how to endure their hardships and their suffering. They were going through very hard time. They were going through persecution and difficulties. And so what he wrote to them, I believe, is what God's message is for us today. So I'm reading out of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 in the NIV. If you guys want to swipe there in your iBible or in a hard copy Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Paul says this: "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And this is so good, I want to read it again. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, Paul, if you guys are unfamiliar with him, maybe you really know him well, but he was a man who was familiar with pain and hardships in his life. He had experienced multiple shipwrecks. He had experienced it multiple times of when they had tried to kill him and persecute him. He had been a guy who had experienced hardship because of his faith and his love in Jesus. And so when he is telling other people, "Rejoice always," it's not from a man who's naive. He's saying, rejoice no matter what. This is the experience he has. This is better. And this is a little bit of a side note on this, but if you think about this for a minute, sometimes when we're talking about gratitude and we're thinking about the things that we wish we had, Paul wrote this down as a letter. So he would have had to have been separated from the Thessalonians. He sat down, took the time to write this down, and then it probably would have taken weeks, maybe even months, depending on how far away he was, for them to get it to him. And this was the message that he had for them. This was, in many ways, the sermon he had for them. So how grateful should we be now for the technology we have to be able to preach and hear it right then and right there? You get to see them. I'm sure the Thessalonians would have rather have Paul be there in person, but when not, they appreciated what they did have. And thank the Lord that he did take the time to write it down, because we have this letter for us this morning. So yes, we love to gather in person as a church, and we should appreciate, we should be thankful, but we should be thankful for online church as well, because it is something that we have. It's not a replacement for in person, but it sure is nice to have. And so Paul's saying here, his first thing is to rejoice. Rejoice always. And the reason is because joy is possible no matter your circumstances. Joy isn't dependent on our circumstances, because celebration is actually a spiritual discipline. It's something that you can practice. And Paul had learned to be content. He had learned to rejoice no matter his circumstances. He wrote to the Philippians church in verses 4 to 11 to 13, or chapter 4, 11 to 13 in that letter. He said this: "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." In some translations, this is translated as, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And it's one of the most popular verses, and it's one of the most misquoted verses. It's thinking like, I can flip a car, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But what Paul is actually talking about is the all things is he can be content no matter what. And sure, we could think to ourselves, it's easy to be content when we have lots of things. But it's hard, if we admit it, to be content no matter your circumstances. Because even imagine what we're going through right now, this COVID thing. Is it easy to be content having all these restrictions? This quote-unquote new normal, which isn't normal whatsoever, so it's not normal. It's weird. But this kind of situation, Paul says, it's possible to rejoice always, to have joy no matter the circumstances. It's possible to celebrate this. And as long as we are alive and have breath in our lungs, we have something to celebrate. We are alive. We have the opportunity to praise God because of that. And it's interesting, because the uniqueness of joy versus happiness, and Christian joy specifically, is that it often emerges in the weirdest and most unexpected, most adverse circumstances. There's stories in the book of Acts of people in prison because of their faith in Jesus, rejoicing and singing songs of praise towards God. You can rejoice and praise God no matter the circumstances. But Paul writes about this paradox very simply in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He says he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul isn't saying that our lives aren't hard. Paul isn't saying that this COVID time that we are experiencing right now is not difficult. We're not ignoring the hard things in our lives. It's not to try and pretend like this isn't hard and just, I'm a happy, happy, joyful person and just pretending like it's life is just easy. Life is not easy. But it's Paul is saying, even though he's full of sorrow, even though he has these hardships, he can still rejoice and he can praise God for the good things that he has, for the blessings that he has. And so from a human perspective, Paul had everything to be upset about. Yet his perspective wasn't an earthly perspective. His perspective was a heavenly one. He recognized that this life is but a fleeting shadow compared to eternity. This life is just, compared to eternity, is just like a blink of the eye. It is here one moment and gone the next. And so what Paul calls us to is to celebrate with joy the life that we have, because joy actually gives us strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, would you rather be around somebody who is full of joy or full of complaining? We'd all rather be around somebody who's full of joy. And maybe, don't point any fingers if they're here with you, but we can all think of somebody who maybe is hard to be around because they're complaining all the time. You know, it seems like every time you hang out with them, they have something new to complain about. And they're the people that are always focused on the hard things. But yet, the people that are really fun to hang out with are the people that are full of joy. The people that no matter their circumstances, no matter the hardships they're going through, that they're still laughing, they're still having a good time, they're still good to be around. That's because it's important to celebrate what we have rather than focus on what we lack. That's what gratitude is about. It's about focusing on what we have and celebrating that, the good things that we have. And so if we fill our lives with simple good things and consistently thank God for them, then we will be joyful. We will be full of joy. But then you can ask, well, what about my problems? Yes, I'm pointing out all the good things in my life, but what about my problems? When we're focused on the good things we have, the blessings in our lives, and we thank them, thank God for them as gifts, then our problems don't go away, but they sure don't seem as big. When we recognize many things that we have, yes, we have problems, yes, we have to deal with them. We're not going to pretend like they're not there. We're not called just to be naive to our problems. We have to deal with them. We should grieve, we should be sad when we're sad. Our problems don't go away, but they certainly don't seem as big. But rejoicing itself, rejoicing with gratitude, is a discipline. It's something that we have to choose to do. It's a choice that we make sometimes over and over during the hard times. Maybe we have to wake up each morning and say, I'm going to choose to be joyful today. And so when we choose to live this way, the healing redemption of Jesus actually reshapes our hearts to be filled with joy. And that's because the path to joy is through prayer. Prayer is the ultimate way. It's communicating with God. It's talking with God. It's the ultimate way that God changes and reshapes our hearts and our attitudes to be more like him. Those who follow after Jesus ultimately become like Jesus. The language that we like to use here at Bethel Church is we become apprentices of Jesus, because an apprentice is learning to be like their master. Jesus is the master. We are learning to be like him. So when we talk with God, we pray with God, he actually makes us more like him. And just as Pastor Dave talked about last week in his sermon, the rule of life we have, the way that we shape our lives, shapes who we are becoming. So if we have prayer as a practice in our life, then we will become more and more like Jesus. And prayer is, constant prayer is a reminder of our dependence on God. So prayer is what sustains us. And maybe you're like me and you've heard the verses before about having to pray continually, and you start thinking, well, I just need to just pray more, and we start maybe to beat yourself up, and I have to put it more in my calendar, I have to pray more, I have to spend more hours praying. But as I actually studied this and thought about it and prayed about it more, I realized more and more continual prayer isn't necessarily out loud prayer 24/7 hours a day. But what it is yes, it's intentional time. Maybe we have time in the morning when we pray to God out loud on our knees or with a journal open, whatever. But it's just checking in with God throughout the day. It's not forgetting about him, not forgetting that he's there. If we're a follower of Jesus, it's checking in with him and saying, God, I'm about to go into this hard meeting, this conversation. Help me through this. And maybe it's just telling him, oh, that was harder, or this is what I'm feeling throughout the day. And the way that I like to think about this is my communication with my wife. I try and keep communication with my wife open. We spend usually once a week, we talk about the week ahead. We talk about what's going on, our plans, our kind of dreams, our hopes, the things that are happening this next week. And then usually each day, at the end of the day, we kind of go through like what happened during the day. We try and have those things. But then throughout the day, it's just as simple as send a quick text message or can you pray about this? Or how are you doing? Or are the kids driving you crazy yet? Did you get a nap this afternoon? I wish I could nap. But things like that throughout the day. And I think it's like that with God. It's just these quick little check-ins throughout the day. So it doesn't have to be this pressure of, oh, I need to spend all of these hours, but it's just asking him directions, sharing with him our thoughts, our feelings, our worries, and get his help. And Paul wrote to the Philippian church again in chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so we just ask God and help him, and he will help us. And so we're joyful in celebrating what God has done, and we keep this perspective through prayer with God's help. And so the primary thing about all this, and it was in this verse as well, is to give thanks. Gratitude changes our whole perspective. When I was talking about that train tracks, if we're completely focused on the negative hard things in our lives, if we instead focus all on the restrictions and we wish things were different about COVID and all of that, then we're going to miss so many good things that are happening right here and right now. And so the perspective of having gratitude and being thankful for what we do have helps us not focus on our lack, but helps us focus on what we do have. And I don't know about you guys, but one of the difficult things about parenting for me is when my children are not grateful. When they don't realize how many hours of work I put into doing something or how many toys that they actually have. When they don't appreciate the things that they have, I have a hard time with that as a parent. And it does, I don't give them things and I don't love them to get things back from them. That's not why I do it. I do it because I love them. But sometimes it's much more fun to give kids things when they're grateful. It's more fun spending time with kids when they are so thankful and grateful. They say to me, at least they call me Papa, they say, thank you, Papa. Thank you so much. I love that. And I think about that with God, is that he loves to give us things just because he loves us. He loves to spend time with us just because he loves us. God is infinite, he's omnipotent, he has everything he needs. He doesn't have any lack. He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't give things to us. He doesn't spend time with us. He doesn't love us to get something back from us. He doesn't have a void. He doesn't need anything from us. But he loves to see us be thankful and grateful. And he loves to bless us. And one of the things I've heard said before about kids is it's great to spoil kids, but you never want your kids to act spoiled. And I think God's like that too. I think he wants to spoil us. I think he wants to give us good things. I think he wants to give us an abundance of his love. He wants us to be full of joy to the brim, overfilling. But he doesn't want us to act spoiled. He doesn't want us to act entitled. He wants us to be grateful for what we have. And one of the things that's helped me over the years is a practice that I started called prayer journaling. And I just sit down every once in a while. I'm not as consistent as I should be, I'll be honest right here. But I like writing down my prayers, my thoughts, my worries, thanking God for things. And then one of the beautiful things about that is I can look back from years before and read things. And then I go, oh, I totally forgot about that situation. And a couple things happen. I either see that God had changed the situation or had responded to the prayer in the way I'd asked or whatever, he resolved the situation. Or the other thing is maybe nothing changed but my perspective. And I realized, you know, I thought that was such a big deal. And years later, it's not really. It's not as big of a deal. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was whatever. But I grew through that. And so that having that perspective of realizing that God is there, he's with us no matter what, changes everything. It doesn't necessarily make our circumstances different, but it makes our perspective better. That we're thankful for what we have rather than losing out on the opportunity to be full of joy and rejoicing because we're focused on what we don't have versus focusing on what we have. We have so many things. And we have so much to be thankful for as individuals and as a church. As one of the staff of Bethel Church, I am so thankful for this church's generosity. I was quite anxious, as I'm sure a lot of people were at the beginning of COVID, wondering, well, what's this going to do? Am I going to be able to keep my job? Am I going to be able to keep going? And because of your guys' generosity, we were able to keep staff going. We were able to keep doing ministry in a totally different way in a lot of cases, but we were able to keep going. And during this pandemic, we were actually, as Gary and as Pastor Kirsten shared, we were able to bless our non-domestic missionaries with a $1,000 gift each, which has been such a blessing to them and the people that they're ministering to and the people that they're reaching with their struggling finances. And a few of the other things I wanted to highlight is that we as a staff and leadership as a church as a whole, we wanted to thank the church because one of the things through your partnership we were able to do is give out over 200 food hampers to those who are hard hit by the pandemic. Just such a practical need in our community at the beginning of the pandemic. And beyond that, over $11,000 has been given to benevolence funds since the beginning of this COVID time. And that benevolence fund is meant to go directly to people's practical needs, their financial needs. People, not just in our church, but in our community as a whole. And part of those monies have gone to the Salvation Army Food Bank, the local one, to feed those who need that basic care of food. And so, just so many of these things have just been such a blessing to see. And so thank you so much, church, for the way that you have done. We are truly grateful. And that's because of you guys. And so thank you. And one of the decisions that was made really early on by Pastor Dave and the board was the decision not to seek out governmental monetary help. The government had been offering for businesses and nonprofits to give out money to help supplement people's staff budgets and things like that. But as a church, they decided we don't want to accept that because we want to choose instead to just trust God. And it's nothing against any people that did that, but for us as a church, it wasn't meant to be a prideful rejection of offered help, but we just wanted to choose to trust God. And because of your guys' generosity, God has just truly blessed us, and we were able to keep going without that. And so thank you so much, church. So we trusted in God, and even in the hardest times, he's been able to help us. But God doesn't always change our circumstances, right? Sometimes we pray, and it feels like nothing happens other than God is just there. We can have peace no matter what, because God is with us. And so giving thanks in all circumstances means a recognition that even the hardest things in our lives can be redeemed by God for our good. And the greatest travesty that was ever committed in the history of humanity was that humanity murdered Jesus Christ. God's perfect son who committed no sin, who had done nothing wrong, that God entrusted his son to us and we decided to kill him. That is the greatest tragedy that has ever happened. But God turned that and redeemed it for our good. He made that perfect sacrifice mean that we could have life with Jesus and God in the Father and the Holy Spirit forever in heaven. God turned that around. And so imagine the things in our lives that he can turn around. If God could redeem that greatest tragedy, imagine what he could redeem in your life. God can do so much good despite the bad, despite the hardship. And I'm not saying that God is always going to change our circumstances. There are some things that we'll never understand why. And I'm not trying to say that they're minimized. I don't want to minimize how hard COVID has been. I know for my family personally, it's been difficult. There's been things that have been really hard. And so I'm not minimizing that whatsoever. But our perspective when we're grateful, we don't focus on those hard things. Instead, we focus on what we do have. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're an apprentice of Jesus, you have the greatest gift ever imagined. You have eternal life with Jesus. This life may be hard. It may be painful. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe everything in your life is difficult right now. Maybe you can't even fathom anything good in your life. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you do have something worth celebrating. You have eternal life with Jesus. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, this day is a gift that you can use to rejoice and to praise him for what he has done. So no matter what else is in your life, if you have Jesus, that's enough to be grateful for. And Paul closes this short little few verses by saying, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This rejoicing, this praying, and giving thanks, those are all vital parts of God's will for our lives. So in this new season of life for our church, God wants, or we need to have a culture of gratitude. Rather than focusing on what we're lacking or how we wish things were different, we should focus on what we do have. We do have the opportunity to gather together in person. We do have the opportunity to gather together online. We do have the opportunity to celebrate what Jesus is doing, what he has done, because gratitude leads to joy. And it's funny, I always find this funny anytime studies come out, because often it seems like science actually starts to prove a little bit of the truth that's in the Bible, that those who have held the Bible strongly, that science sometimes actually catches up to Scripture. And this is so true with gratitude. God wants us to be thankful and to have gratitude actually because it's good for us. And so according to a Harvard psychological study, this quote comes from the summary. It said this, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. So we should practice gratitude because it's good for us. We should thank God for what he's done because it actually helps us. And it goes on further to say, gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what they have instead of always reaching for something new in the hopes it will make them happier or thinking they can't feel satisfied until every physical and material need is met. Gratitude helps people refocus on what they have instead of what they lack. And although it may feel contrived at first, this mental state goes stronger with use and practice. That sounds just like a spiritual discipline. Practice makes perfect. So as we practice gratitude, we will practice what it is to rejoice and be thankful more and more. Rather than focusing on the hard things, we'll focus on the good things that we have in our life. And this is what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul is telling us, think about, focus on the good things. Focus on truth, focus on goodness, focus on what is beautiful, focus on what is right. Don't focus on the negative things in life. And I'm not saying we don't just ignore the hard things. We deal with the hard things. They're not just going to go away if we just close our eyes, but focus on what we have rather than what we don't have. And so the true victories in life are won by Christians who are joyful, prayerful, and thankful. So let us be known as a church in this new season of gratitude for all that God has done for us. So choose to be grateful in your life. And I know we stood up here and I had everyone have a turn at the mic that we could just go on and on and on if we actually took time to think about all of the things that we could be grateful for. And so I want to challenge all of us to take time this week to actually spend some time with a pen and paper and start writing out some of the things that you have to be thankful for in your life, some of the things that you can be grateful for, and then thank God for them. Thank God for that list. And we have study guides that we are encouraging people. Usually we always make these for our life groups, but we're encouraging people, if you're not in a life group, or if you are, for sure, take one of the paper copies here in person or go online under our messages, our sermons, and then there's a digital copy of these study guides, and it's a great opportunity. Grab a friend or two or a couple other families that you're already in a connection with, and then go through them this week. And go through the questions. It's a really good way to apply the message and to apply being grateful. And so would you please join me in prayer? Jesus, we are so thankful for the way that you bless us. We are so thankful, most of all, for the eternal life that we have, for those of us who have put our faith, hope, and trust in you, Jesus. Jesus, you are so good. But Lord, we're not minimizing this. This life is so hard sometimes. Lord, it's painful. Lord, there's times we suffer. And Lord, we don't want to just put our heads in our sand and pretend that doesn't exist, but we pray that you would be with us, that you would give us peace, that your Holy Spirit would remind us that you are there, that you are walking alongside us no matter what hardships we are facing. But Lord, help us to keep our perspective on eternity. Help us to keep our perspective on you, that no matter what, as long as we are alive, we have something to celebrate. We have the opportunity to be filled with joy and love and sharing that love and goodness with other people around us, Lord. May we be people who are full of joy and known for our joy-filled love towards others, Lord. May we not be sour, dour Christians, but may we be people who are filled with love of you and for others, spreading that contagious joy and laughter, Lord, throughout the world. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.